Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roll on a honey.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It's that time again. It's drive time. It's prime time. It's time for the American Adversaries on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. I got Mike McBath back in the studio, fresh off the 50th anniversary of Joe Pa's first win.
JVP, Joseph Vincent Paterno. And
he's the man.
Yeah, he is the man, Chris. You know, we had such a unique program there Friday night and then Saturday. And I was talking to you about this is typical of the media, right? This is why I'm a Trumplican. There was one protester out of 100-some thousand people around the stadium. And guess whose picture was put in the paper? You know who.
The protester.
I mean, was that disgusting?
Yeah, indeed it is. We'll talk a little bit more about
we'll get back to this.
But great adventure here in just a few minutes. Real quickly, I am Christopher Hart. We got Nick LoCicero on the bridge. And the phone number is 407-774-822. A little bit later on in this hour of the show, matter of fact, the second half of this hour of the show, we're going to have economist and Trump economic advisor Steve Moore back on the show with us.
I really like Steve, and I read some of his articles and everything, and I hope Trump is listening to him, and I think he is. And, I got some questions for Steve.
Yeah. And so stick around for that. And then we will be here, of course, until 7 o'clock. And then Larry Elder picks it up after that. But now, and we'll go through this one more time here. Tonight, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, the rest of this week, the Rays will be playing at home. And the pregame show does start at 6:30. That's sort of the bad news. The good news is, after that, for all practical purposes, as far as we're concerned, their season is over. There will be another week of the season, but they'll be playing in Chicago and Texas, so they'll be playing in a different time zone, and that won't affect us at all. So please bear with it four more days. And don't forget now, though, you do have other alternatives. You got am660theanswer.com, and if you got a smart device, and then many of us do, whether we're smart enough to know how to use it or not.
I always wonder why they call it a smart device. I got a dopey device because I'm a dope operating it.
I was going to say, no, it's the smart device because it makes us into the fools, right? So anyway, if you have one of those things, you can download the free WORL FM AM app into that thing. If you got an iPhone, it's pretty easy. If you have an Android device, you might need a little help. You can always call Nick on the call-in line, and he'd be happy to help you with that. Okay. With that having been said, we got Brad on the line, so let's go to him first. Brad, thank you for calling.
Oh, good evening, guys. With all this thing with the plot in New York City and the bomb found, around the tri-state area, and then, of course, the stabbing in Minnesota, and just in general, as we get close to the end here, the home stretch, if you will, Hillary Clinton, of course, again saying that Donald Trump is a powerful tool for recruitment for ISIS and all that. But you know what the proof we have is, though? The radical Islamist father of the Pulse nightclub shooter attending a Hillary rally with his sign, fully supporting Hillary, that speaks volumes. We know who they want for president. That's proof, my friends, because they know that if Trump gets in, it's off with their heads. Well, it's off with their heads. And I'm sick and tired of Hillary Clinton spreading that lie. But that's all she does. She's just a professional sociopathic liar. And as we get closer, guys, they need to hammer home that Obama, Kerry, and the entire Democrat Party wants to bring in hundreds of thousands of refugees. And you know what? I love Donald Trump Jr.'s bowl with the bowl of Skittles. If you yeah. had a bowl of Skittles and three of them were going to kill you, are you going to eat those Skittles? That's brilliant. That's a brilliant analogy.
Yeah.
And it really needs to be hammered home.
Yeah, the people over at Skittles didn't appreciate it much.
Yeah,
though.
I was going to say, hopefully that'll enhance their sales, not hurt them.
Maybe. All right, thank you, Brad. We appreciate you being out there.
Imagine that. He's going, well, then there's three might be poisoned. The guy at Skittles going, we keep quiet. You know, our food's good. You know?
That's right. We're going to be discussing all that. By the way, that's one reason why we've teamed up with Legal Immigrants for America, is so that we can drive home issues like that. And we talk about that. We were talking about mm-hmm. those refugees Sunday night. We were talking about them last night. We'll continue to talk about them. But before we get into all that, I want to talk about Joe Paterno for a minute. You know, the day you left to go to Pennsylvania
right.
for the 50th anniversary, and it was not of him beginning to be the coach. It was
right.
his first victory, right?
Right. His first game was in 1966 on September, I think it was 17th.
And he won
and
it.
We played Maryland. Or I think it was Maryland that time. You know, so long ago.
Right.
But I was actually on the team then. And what they did, they had his first and second year group there. And then they had all the other players. But we were the ones they took out onto the field. You know, and the 100,000 people, it was a nice. And then they showed little clips of Joe and some of his statements that he always enforced to our players.
Can you read a couple of them?
Yeah, a couple of these. I mean, you know, like here's an example. He said, losing a game is heartbreaking. Losing your sense of excellence or worth is a tragedy. And, you know, this is a type of, you know, remember he was an English major at Brown, okay?
I didn't know that.
And, yeah, and then like another one. He said, the will to win is important, but the will to prepare is vital. Well, think about the public and think about these people, you know, on welfare and everything. Oh, I'm going to, you know, I really want to get a job. Well, why don't you prepare? Preparation is the key to all levels of success, no matter what endeavor one tends to go on.
Yep.
One other one that I will never forget, like the rest of the fellows there, is Joe had been interviewed, and they asked him, they said, Joe, you know, you guys have won national championships, everything. He said, the question I have for you, who was your greatest players? And Joe's response was, he said, I can't answer that now. He said, I will respond to you in about 25 years. And our players that have gone off into society, those who have done the greatest for mankind, will come back to me as our greatest players. And a couple examples is, you know, we chatted a little bit about Mike Reed, you know, the concert pianist who's won Grammys and wrote number one songs
it's
in
a big,
country
huge
western.
Dude plays
yeah, Mike Reed
piano.
Was a super athlete. He played 5 years with the Bengals and quit while he was all pro to say, I want to become something different. And he became great at what he did. But even Mike Reed, and I mean, I laugh at this because Joe was a very intimidating person, you know, when you played for him. In other words, I used to always say at Penn State you had a 5-year, a 10-year, and a 15-year plan when you left. And what that plan was, it would take you that long to go back and talk to the SOB for how he treated you. However, you know, he was truly a man who influenced so many. And when you see 450 former players, and you know that covers decades that these people took their time of day and their weekend, paid for everything to pay tribute to this man, you know the quality of the individual.
What was his graduation rate?
Yeah, his graduation rate, which was one thing they brought up, and our good friend, the liberal president, was in attendance, and he didn't feel too good around him because we're a bit resentful for some of his actions. Remember the Hands Up Act?
Oh, yeah.
Which this moron who came from Florida State, you know, I wished he'd go back to Florida State, but the point was, you know, when you look at some of the things that were stated on the stage, I'm going to reference this so quickly, is they had a guy named Brandon Short, and this is a great story. We talked about 87% was our graduation rate over all the years Joe was there, which would be the highest of any major football programs ever.
Exactly, right.
Ever. Plus, the one thing that is also unique is that we have the highest graduation rate of black athletes of any university. But Joe is very strict. Don't think it's because we just put you through school. And I think this was a great laugh. Mike Reed, you know, the concert pianist, this is really funny. He said, I knew that academics and football were certainly different things at Penn State. He said, my freshman year, he said, I'm taking music composition, right? And he said, my professor said, well, Mike, what time is your rehearsals in the afternoon? He said, sir, they're called practices. He says, well, Mike, what type of costumes do you wear? He said, boy, I knew that this was not a football factory. I can tell you that. There were great stories, and, you know, that's the type of time that you don't forget. And this gentleman, I hope they name the stadium after him in the very near future.
Well, the reason I brought all this up, and as I started, the day that you left to go up there for all that, one of the local sports writers here wrote a column in the Slantnel. And another one of the typical, I would call it, liberal media slants,
right.
Where they have no evidence that Joe Paterno knew anything, did anything
to indict him.
Well,
to...
what I'm saying is he had nothing to do with what Sandusky was doing. He didn't do anything to make it easier for Sand. In other words, they have no evidence that Joe Paterno did anything but turn it over to the university officials when he found out something was going on.
And he turned it over to the campus police, which
yes.
are the police that
That's
are involved with, you know, professorship,
right.
et cetera.
It's just like at UCF. If somebody's raped on the campus of UCF, UCF police are called. They carry guns. They drive the cars with the lights. They can arrest you. They can do whatever. Because they're bona fide police.
Right.
All right. And what they always hold out against Paterno is he said, I wish I'd have done more. Well, who doesn't wish that they'd have done more in a situation
like that
turned out to be tragic like that, right? I mean, that doesn't mean that he knew something and knew. I mean, in retrospect, he was being a Monday morning quarterback of himself.
Right.
He was saying, I wish I would have maybe looked into it a little bit more, or myself or something. But once you turn it over to the police,
yeah.
I mean, it's their affair.
You notice, too, Chris, what I've always said is Joe was an absolute disciplinarian. Joe would have never, ever accepted that from Jerry Sandusky if he knew it. That's why there was 450 guys there. We know the true story. We live with this guy. These people, like even these local yokels who write in sports, you know, they're just, I don't know, they just write a story, they have no facts, they don't know anything, because, as you said, there are no facts. He didn't do anything. I knew Sandusky better than any writer probably had ever wrote about him, because he was on the team 2 years with me, and I used to play in the second mile with the guy. You would never guess that this guy was anything like this, and you know what? There's still a question mark. I don't know.
But even that, Sandusky aside, that goes to exonerate Paterno, right?
I agree.
So Joe Paterno hears there's a complaint or something, and he's supposed to automatically believe it. And by the way, the guy who went on to replace Paterno, the one who was in the middle of all this,
right.
evidently himself was in a little bit of trouble with the police.
Right.
And so in order to sort of extricate himself from that little, dilly-dallying,
right.
he made himself a witness in this case.
Right.
He was the only witness.
Right.
And the only one.
He had recanted his story, as you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing, again, when you look at, and the public doesn't know this, when the board fired Joe, okay, what happened was, the head of the Board of Trustees, I won't say his name, but his brother played football with me at Penn State. And the head of the Board of Trustees was from U.S. Steel, you know, the chairman?
Yeah.
So what happens is his brother hated Paterno, and they have emails of his brother sending these notes to Paterno because his brother's son never played. The minute there was any type of question, they fire Joe. They don't even, literally they call him up. They don't even go to the door. And then that began the process of let's destroy this man
and
create stories that never existed.
They made him a scapegoat.
That's exactly right.
They made him the scapegoat because the university officials are the ones, if there's somebody who should have done more, it wasn't Paterno, it was the university officials.
How did the guy, if they want to blame all, how did the guy even get into the locker room? He got in there because he was Professor Emeritus, and you automatically get a key, you know, to go into that area. But the other thing is, if this truly occurred, guess what? If you're standing where the guy claimed he was standing and the other one's in the bathroom with Jerry, guess what? You can't see in.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of details, never fitted. And you know what? There's never been a trial. And I'm going to trust the people that lived with him for 4 years at a time that understood if Sandusky did anything close that was said, Paterno would have fired him in a second because Paterno never loved Sandusky.
Paterno, even though Sandusky, to my understanding, is a good deal bigger than Paterno, Paterno, I bet, would have kicked him out of there literally himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that program, what he was doing, was so very important to that man and his life, he would not have jeopardized it for that.
Right.
You know, there is the innocent till proven guilty, but see, the thing is, Paterno was never accused of a crime.
Right, right.
And yet he is treated as though he's the guilty one, or at least one of the guilty ones in this whole affair. It is wrong. It is wrong for sports writers and these other two-bit chumps to take and use their medium to besmirch
guy
who they have no idea what they're talking about.
I mean, we live when you're competing, you're in with the guy probably 25 hours a week for 4 years, right? You would think you get a little bit of idea of what the personality of the guy is. Not one of these sports writers here locally probably spent more than a total, maybe 10 minutes with him. Yet they're the expert, and they're the one that tries to derange his character? No. These are just a bunch of losers that are trying to write a story to sell a story.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Ugh, disgusting. All
right. Okay. Well, I'm glad that it was a great reunion. We'll take a break. When we come back, we got George on the line, and we got a lot to talk about. So please stay with us.
Lonely,
I'm Mr. Lonely.
One protester.
Nobody. I mean, isn't that amazing, though, Chris? But that proves to me the media is as low as you can go.
Indeed. By the way, I noticed where Penn State just barely squeaked by Temple there.
I didn't want to discuss the game.
I thought maybe they were going to pull some of you guys out of the stands and put you back on the field if you had any eligibility left.
You know what the bad news is?
What's that?
We play Michigan this week.
Well, all the controversy is about the coach out there. You heard that, right?
Right.
The camera caught him doing the pick or something.
Oh, we don't expect any niceties when we go to Michigan. And I can assure you that.
And don't forget, if you wear UCF jerseys or any memorabilia on UCF game day, go to Tijuana Flats in Oviedo, Winter Springs, or Avalon Park, and you get 10% off.
And I have to say,
every UCF game day.
Right. And that's a great program that he has out there. But the performance of UCF this weekend was excellent. Even though they lost, excellent.
300 and something rushing yards.
Yep.
All right, let's go to George and then Brian. George, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, hello, guys.
Hey, George.
Hey,
how
George.
You doing?
Mike, what did you do with the money they gave you for voice lessons?
I contributed to the Hillary's Foundation.
you're a good man. Guys, I have some analysis about the Hillabees problems. But first, do you guys remember when the Hillabees had an episode at 9/11 waiting for a van?
Oh, yes.
Well, the same thing happened to me, but it wasn't due to my dehydration, pneumonia, double vision, or thyroid. It happened at one of my favorite places where I was enjoying some few shots and beers with a couple of friends of mine.
Yeah, that can happen.
Then the last call, somebody screamed, last call, so quickly I downed my double. One of my friends said, you two guys wait out front while you get the car. So with the help of my friend, I navigated out the front door. My friend brought me up against the post. The car arrived. I tried to walk to the car, and my legs gave out. My friend held me up. I took a few more steps. My legs fell out again. Two more steps, my shoe fell off. Well, so my friend opened the back door, threw me in, With my shoe, and that's the last thing I remember.
Oh, man.
Did you go to your son or daughter's apartment and then reappear?
Yeah, that's right.
I should have been.
Yeah, you can let you go sleep it off a while.
There you go. All right, here we go. Five reasons she's having trouble. The reason she's having coughing spells is because her and Omar are hitting that local weed too hard.
Oh, yes, there you go.
Number four, the reason she has trouble going up the stairs is because she wears those weird pantsuits that look like body armor, and that's just too heavy for her royal fatness.
Okay. There
it's
you
brutal.
Go. Number three.
Number three, the reason she came out with sunglasses after Chelsea cured her was because her eyes were so red from crying after seeing the latest polls. Trump leading.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting nastier and nastier.
Yeah.
Chris.
We'll be talking about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number two, the reason she has that sour look on her face, that in her mind she's thinking, first that phony Muslim, now that bastard billionaire, don't these deplorable idiots realize that I deserve to be president? By the way, there's so much more money I can make as president.
Oh, yes, that's what she's seeing, dollar signs, yeah. Number one.
And the last one, the reason she had trouble, she needed help from the 9/11 ceremony to get into the van. Her pants were just too full.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Man, he is brutal today, George. You got a little mean streak in there. No?
All right, George, we appreciate that.
One quick thing, guys.
All right.
On this first debate, all the moderators are Democrats. The place that set up the debate were all the contributors to Clinton. So I don't know what the Lions Den is going to bring our boy.
Well, I was just getting ready to say, that's all right. Trump will be wading into a Lions Den, but he'll know it, and he's the man to tame him. All right, thank you, George. Appreciate you being out there. All right, of course, that first debate is 9 o'clock Monday night, and you can catch some great coverage right here on this very
station. That's against Monday Night Football, though, right, Chris?
It indeed is. All right, Brian, please stay with us. We'll get your call after the break.
Yes, this is me, Brian Blair, the Killer Bee, and I'm tired of those sticky liberal lies. That's why I tune in to the American Adversaries, where you get nothing but the truth. So don't get stung. Listen to AM 660, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show. Of course, that's Brian Blair. He'll be with us Friday, but we got another Brian on the line right now who's been patiently waiting. Thank you for doing that, Brian. We appreciate you being out there.
That's Brian of the Stiebel variety in Miami. How are you, Chris?
All right.
Pretty good, Brian.
Hey, I am so gratified to hear you two guys sticking up for a guy that I thought I was the only defender of. I don't know, but I strongly suspect Jerry Sandusky was railroaded. I lived in L.A. during the McMartin thing, which was hysteria raised to the third power at least. But Penn State might have even eclipsed that. The charges were completely thrown out in the McMartin fiasco, and they should have been thrown out up at Penn State. Keep in mind, the wife of Sandusky, who supposedly was an ear witness to some of this stuff that happened in the basement, she swore she never heard anything. She may have been lying to protect Jerry, but I'm not so sure. I am certain that Joe Paterno wasn't lying to protect anybody. He got mixed up in this whole thing, and it besmirched one of the great careers in American sports history, and that's a crying shame, don't you think, boys?
I think you hit it right on the head. Not only besmirched him personally, but that football program, the university, and a whole lot of other people.
Yeah. And he was about the only college football coach, certainly the only major one at a major school, who actually remembered that it's college football. That is the point of college
sports. College football is for college students. Right.
Most of the lunkheads that populate ESPN and all the stupid sports talk stations in this country don't understand this, of course, because to them, sports is God. But that's just not the way it goes down.
Right. Yeah. His whole theory, they call it the grand experiment, started in 1966. In my first class, I would say of the 24 that they brought in, at least 15 could have gone to Ivy League schools. And, you know, it was a unique group. Out of 24 that graduated, 21 graduated, had graduate degrees, be they law, dental, et cetera. How many schools playing big-time football that win a lot can do things like that?
Joe Paterno was an American hero, and that statue that I guess they ripped out of Penn State, they should have taken it to Harrisburg and put it on the state capitol grounds, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, Franco Harris was up there this weekend.
That, I will continue to respect, and next time I'm in State College, haven't been there in many years, but next time I'm there, I'm going to go and try to find the house and knock on the widow's door of Joe Paterno and apologize to her for all the idiots that ruined her husband's reputation.
Well, you know, one more note about Joe, too, Chris, is to show you the type of guy he was. His wife still lives in the same house he lived in, which is right across the street from the university. And I would bet if I had to appraise the value of the house, it would probably be maybe $325,000. All these coaches lived in $5 million mansions, $4 million. This guy was the most simplistic in lifestyle. His whole life was to make greater people. And
you
that's
bet.
What
Although
he believed.
I think you mean simple, not simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
Different
yeah.
concept.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, hey, yeah, great talking to you guys. Keep up the great work up there in Orlando.
All right,
thank you, Brian. Always
Bye.
Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Take care of yourself. That's right. That's Brian Stibel. And yeah. he's been listening to the show. He's been around with
He's
us
down
long.
In Miami?
Yeah.
Well, he would know that fellow Jimmy Cephalo, who was one of the top broadcasters down in Miami, who is a Penn Stater.
Yeah.
And he played like 7-8 years in the NFL. So he played for the Dolphins, too. You know?
All right. Okay. We're working to get Steve Moore on the line. As soon as we do, we'll go to him. Of course, he is a Trump economic advisor. By the way, real quickly, Hillary Clinton is taking today off.
What for, her? She never works.
Why? She's got that pneumonia. Right?
She's got
pneumonia.
Is she on some form of welfare?
I don't know. But
she never works?
No. And when she does, it's disastrous. So maybe it's better that she takes the day off. But no, she is taking the day off to get ready for her big appearance here in Orlando tomorrow.
Now, is this going to be at the arena where it holds 20,000 people?
No.
Oh.
And it's not going to be.
No.
It's not
really?
Going to be at the Citrus Bowl either.
Am I going to be able to go?
I don't think you're
going to. You're not going to be invited.
Probably not. And it's probably by invitation only because mm-hmm. the venue is so small, only a handful of people are going to get in there. It's she's going to be at the Frontline Outreach Center tomorrow. And that's down in the, I don't know what neighborhood they call
it. Near the Citrus Bowl.
Holden Heights. Like west of the
right.
Citrus Bowl. Over
so
there.
All 30 people will be able to get in.
They actually have a gymnasium, so you can probably cram
yeah.
a couple, probably 300 or 400 people you could get in there max.
Make it look really crowded.
Right.
There's thousands there.
This is a modern day equivalent of the old boys clubs, if
yeah.
you will. Okay.
Yeah.
Boys and girls clubs.
Yep.
And it's a place for kids to go in that neighborhood after school and during the summer. And as I said, they have a gymnasium there and, you know, they got, I guess, you know.
So what is the racial mix in that area?
It's obviously she's going there to appeal
so
to black voters.
She'll be pandering and lying is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah. And it's probably going to be reserved to community leaders and teachers and yeah. people like that. I doubt because of the size of that venue that there's going to be anybody else hardly that's going to be able to get in there. This is going to yeah. be people who are one way or another connected or that she feels is connected in the community. And
Chris, but what concerns me is the heat tomorrow. It's going to be like 95 degrees. If she passed out when it was 78, I don't think she stands a chance at 95. Do you?
Wouldn't that be beautiful? Anyway, she is.
Maybe we'll bring bottles of water down there. Send it down.
See,
compliments of American adversaries.
This is it. She's taking today off to get ready.
Oh,
you know,
get pumped up.
She has to take a day off to work a day. Right?
Yeah.
I guess if you can get it, why not, right? In the meantime, Donald Trump is barnstorming the country. Two big rallies in North Carolina today. One was this afternoon. Mike caught some of it. Another one is there this evening. Mike Pence is just north of there, I think, in Maryland, given a rally today as well. He was just in the Villages a few days ago. As a matter of fact, our guest tomorrow, Dolly Kyle, went to his appearance and got her photograph with him the other day.
Oh, I can't wait to hear her.
To find out what she whispered in his
yeah.
ear, right? He had his wife with him. So no.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, the appearance today in North Carolina was at...
Yeah, this is what I love. There was a High Point, North Carolina at the university there. And, you know, Trump takes it right to the Democratic stronghold. You know, the child, we have all the kids and the millennials. You know, I hear the Democrats say that, right?
Yeah, well, no,
the whole room was, and I mean room filled. I mean, lots of people, not 400 like they'll be here. I mean, thousands. And you know what? Those kids absolutely love the guy. You could tell by the applause, the enthusiasm, the smiles, the happiness. And you know what? That proves you can go in, sadly enough, these kids, all kids, and whether Hillary's talking to them or Trump, they're still naive. But the one thing Trump did was keep it simple, stupid. Economy, jobs, security, you know, and make America great. Just keep it that simple for these kids. And, you know, don't get into this lying garbage about all these are things we have to do to make a better society, which she doesn't do any of them.
Yeah,
you know?
Well.
So it was really great to see such happy people.
You mentioned the young nature of the crowd.
Yeah,
they
were mostly college students,
because
right.
It was at the college, right?
Right.
I don't know how many millennials are going to go to Donald Trump, but Hillary Clinton has a huge problem of millennials going away from her. She now leads Donald Trump amongst millennials by about 4 points.
That's pathetic. Remember what the past was with Little Brockster.
He beat mm-hmm. Romney with a 30-point margin.
Oh,
she had up until, and get and right. We just had George with his sort mm-hmm. of tongue-in-cheek stuff about her health.
Mm-hmm.
That is what turned it for millennials.
Mm-hmm.
When they saw the videos of her diving, collapsing, swooning, however she got from the sidewalk into that van, and we've all seen it, and it's sad. I mean, it's a pitiful
yeah.
sight.
Yeah.
I mean, if it were anybody else,
you would have great compassion.
Exactly.
Without a doubt.
But because she's such a you-know-what, I mean, it's hard to have compassion for her. But nonetheless, it's still a pitiful sight, and you do right. have to have some feeling, because it's a human being.
Right.
She is a human being.
As
low grade a one as yeah. she is, she's nonetheless a human being. So when you see that sort of thing, it grabs you.
Right.
And it gets you right in the pit of your stomach. And I guarantee you, when these millennials saw that, and they bypass the NBC, ABC, CBS, and all that. They go right to the YouTube.
Oh, yeah, well, that's right. They cut it. That's why I like YouTube, in a sense that it goes right to the heart of it. Here's Hillary.
Well, it can be for the better or it can be for
the worse. Right, I understand.
But in this case, it's for the worse for Hillary, because they see this and they go, woohoo! You know, they're young. They're invincible. They're right. They're just coming in their own in this world. And they see this and they're thinking, that's not what I envision for leadership.
And
right?
Plus
somebody who can't even stand up.
And you look at the energy quotient. You look at Trump, who's just fired up all the time. And if I were a young person that age, because I was thinking like this weekend, and we discussed it among the players, is can you imagine a kid's 21 years old? That would be like us in 1968 or something. A guy that was Hillary's age would be like born in the teens. They're so old to these millennials that there is no relationship. But Trump can bring it on with enthusiasm, hope. And, you know, just a much better storyteller.
He doesn't have to win the millennials. He just has to keep her from winning them big.
You got it.
Right? Yeah. So if he were to just hold it where it is right now, she has been tremendously weakened. And do you ever wonder, you know, we revealed she's going to be tomorrow at the Frontline Outreach Center here in Orlando.
What time do you know, Chris?
That I do not know. Probably around midday would be my guess.
She's
going to have to sleep late in the morning, right?
That's true.
Then they're going to have to prop her up in front of the makeup mirror for a while, unless she's having one of those days, and then it's going to be everybody just leave her alone, and then they're going to get her on the jet and bring her down here. So I would imagine probably early afternoon, something like that, here in Orlando tomorrow. I have not seen the schedule.
But you would think they would shelter her from the heat. Chris is 95. She fell apart in 78.
Well,
and you know, pneumonia, you don't cure pneumonia in 1 week.
They're going to have one of them Scooby vans here, I'm sure. Mm. So
it's like the Pope. She'll have a bubble around her and like wave to the people as she goes through.
This is the problem that she has. Wherever she goes, that whatever disease that it is following her. Right?
So we know that.
It ain't going to be very
far. It's not disappearing soon, I can tell you that.
It's never going to be very far away from Hillary. Mm. So no matter where she goes, no matter what she's doing, something could happen. And that's the reality that she has created for herself in all of this. she's going to be at the frontline outreach because she's having to outreach to the black community,
right,
because she's also losing black votes. There was a stunning result out of that L.A. Times poll
over the
weekend that showed Donald Trump getting more black votes than any Republican since Richard M. Nixon. And that's back when blacks registered as Republicans, and voted as Republicans.
Right, and understood which party benefited them most.
That's right. Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is unheard of what's happening out there. And then there's the WikiLeaks thing. Yet.
It's coming.
And there are rumors that I think rumors probably too light of a word. There are reports out there that WikiLeaks is going to be revealing some things possibly having to do with guns.
Mm-hmm.
Being sold to the Islamic State.
Oh, while Hillary was Secretary of State, right?
Yeah.
You know, I believe something could pop out this Thursday or Friday just to really spice up the debate.
You have to remember, back in the early days of when we pulled our troops out of Iraq, and ISIS wasn't what ISIS has become.
Mm-hmm.
What was the thing that was... Let me put it this way. Who was it that they were trying to get rid of about that time? Now, they'd gotten rid of Mubarak.
Mm-hmm.
They'd done in Gaddafi.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it that Barack Obama said had to go?
Assad.
Bashar al-Assad.
Right.
Okay. Who was the Islamic State fighting early on? Bashar al-Assad.
Right.
So if you're Hillary Clinton, you're thinking, well, we want to get rid of Assad. These guys down here want to get rid of Assad. Let's help them get rid of Assad. And so we'll give them some weapons. If that breaks in some emails.
That'll be exciting.
Imagine, talk about an October surprise.
Imagine the questions Mr. Trump will be able to ask her.
Surprise.
Gomer Pyle.
Yeah. As I said on the show Sunday night, not only do we, I think, have a distinct chance of winning this thing, but we got a chance of winning this thing big.
And I believe that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like you say, you watch what's taking place in the black community, the millennial community, just the overall enthusiasm. It's certainly not diminishing.
Straighten your shirt out there, because there's something on you. Now, Mike's wearing a 50th anniversary T-shirt, and it's got JVP, Joe Vincent Paterno's initials. And in the letters, it has some of his sayings. Here's one, and it's at the very top of the J. It says, "Believe deep down in your heart that you're destined to do great things."
No, and I'm telling you, this is what this guy would enforce on people on the team for 4 years. Every period you were there, it was the right thing and do the right thing. And that's why these reporters turn my stomach.
And this, what that saying is what Donald Trump is preaching.
And that's great.
Right? So, all right. All right, we're going to take a break. We still haven't been able to reach Steve Moore. He's probably over on Fox talking with him.
Maybe he's doing
Fox.
Some mathematical calculations on the acceleration of...
we'll keep working on it. In the meantime, we'll take a break. Stick around for more of the American Adversaries. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We're here. If you don't listen to us, it's bad luck. Okay, no, wait a minute.
If you don't
listen to us, it's a slap in the face.
That's right. Somebody, didn't Brockster say that?
Yes.
I figure if you listen to him, it proves you're completely ignorant because the guy's lied to you for 8 years, right?
But listen, think about that statement for a minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's speaking to a black audience. He's right. Saying, if you vote for Trump, it's a slap in my face.
Good.
Let's analyze it for a minute. Why would he have to say something like that? Because the black community aren't thrilled with Hillary Clinton.
Oh. I mean.
And he's obviously afraid that they're not going to turn out and vote for her. And lo and behold, may turn around and actually vote for Trump.
One thing he did at High Point this afternoon was he outlined. He outlined to those college students what the situation was in the black community, how crime was, how jobs were, how unfortunate these people were, and why they really should vote for me, because he outlined how many years numbers of these communities have gone strictly under the Democratic ruling.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just because even if you're a college student, you're going to sit there and go, then why do they vote black? Which is my question, too. Why do the blacks vote for Hillary? I can't figure it out, you know?
Well, it's taken somebody like Donald Trump to come along and actually appeal to them.
Uh-huh.
And do it repeatedly, mm-hmm, and sincerely,
mm-hmm,
and it's working because they see the media makes fun of him and ridicules him, you know, oh, he's out there, he's Cree, yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. When he's talking about unemployment and the black community and people getting shot and this and that and the other thing. See, the problem with that argument is that's the argument of people who don't live in the black community.
Right.
The people who live in the black, right, community know exactly what the man's talking about.
They know exactly. And he's going right to the heart of the issue and exposing Hillary and the whole mob. Because, as you say, these people live on the outside looking in.
Right. See, what Trump is doing is when he says, you know, you're afraid to get shot when you go out, you got 50% unemployment amongst your youth. What he's doing is he's telling them, I feel your pain. You remember that old,
mm-hmm,
Bill Clinton thing?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I understand your problems,
mm-hmm,
right? Because this is what I see. I see you have big problems and I want to solve them. And that is an appealing message. That the guy knows how to deliver a message. And this is not by accident that he is where he is. It turns out that Donald Trump is a pretty doggone good politician, like it or not.
Better and better and better.
Right. Now, he may not play by the standard accepted,
Romney rules,
playbook,
which were pathetic.
But it's like a coach in football.
Right.
He can come along and throw out the old playbook, write his own playbook, and suddenly
win.
He's held up as a genius.
Right.
Right.
He's a winner.
I mean, Steve Spurrier did that at Florida.
You're judged by the ultimate results, and he's headed to a winning season, meaning Trump. So, and Hillary, I'm afraid you're going to be 0-12 before the season's over.
All right. So,
you know, Chris,
now we got to talk about our contest for Thursday night.
Right.
Because
this is, I think, your concern and mine.
Up,
there's
right?
a major debate, I think, and particularly with Hillary being in town tomorrow, maybe, you know, our people are going to generate better thoughts to help Trump, because we want our listeners to give us a question that Trump should ask Hillary in the debate.
Should he get a chance?
On Monday, right. But, you know, you can be rhetorical and then flip on her.
Yeah, he can.
So if he uses some of our questions, I think he wins hands down. So if our listeners on Thursday can come up with one question, it has to be a knockout to win the prize, what Trump should ask Hillary. Now, my question, mine's going back to basics, you know, because I just questioned the lives of these people, their lifestyle and everything. So my question would be, Hillary, now what? Think about this. Have you ever cheated on Bill and was with either a man or a woman, i.e. Yuma? You know, so I wonder if he asked her during the debate, what do you think the response would be? That's what Brian would be like. All the books have been written on Bill cheating, so I would like to know, Hillary, because you're in a position of power. Where do you stand on this issue?
Okay.
So this is an example, Chris, and we're waiting for your question, too.
All right. So we'd like you to come up with one question. And what would it be? What would you have Donald Trump ask Hillary in Monday night's debate?
Well, you know, we might be getting too far ahead of it, because if Hillary hears the questions our people are calling in, she's going to prepare for them.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can prepare for Donald Trump fully and effectively. And that's part of the beauty. But that'll be Thursday. Once again, we'll be doing this on Thursday.
Thursday night. Last week was an anomaly, but, you know, we're back in
the saddle. Thursday night. You know, we're going to have Dolly Kyle in here tomorrow night. Well, maybe we can ask her.
I know. I can't wait to talk to her. You know, we're going to be
sure
salivating on this one,
doozies.
Right?
By the way, Dolly has written the book Hillary, the Other Woman. And she's doing a book tour right now today, I think, in Bradenton. But she's going to be on our show in studio tomorrow night. And she's promised to autograph a couple of books to give away to a couple of lucky listeners out there. All right.
Do they have her picture and everything on it? I guess they would.
Let's just hope so.
Boy, this is going to be great. And Hillary's in town, and she's on. Oh,
you
my
like
God.
That? Don't you
wonder
just
if
love
we
it?
Could, like, have somebody drive her over to the event, and she just walks in, sits in the back, and you see Hillary looking at her.
It'd be reunion time, wouldn't it?
I know. It's a family affair.
And by the way, Dolly has known Bill longer than Hill has.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
So she knows the inner secrets.
Oh.
That's why it's going to be great tomorrow.
Inner
We're
secrets.
Have a great, that'll be great.
Inner
so,
secrets.
I'm fired
there,
up.
Yes. Inner secrets. Secrets. Yes, 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 yes. All right. So you'll be playing for a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. Compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd. If you got a Mercedes-Benz or now also a BMW.
BMWs, oof.
That's the place to take it. They are your dealership mm-hmm. alternative for those makes of cars. And they will take great care of your automobile and school you on it. If there's anything you don't know about it, they do.
It was nice seeing him out last Monday, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's certainly into politics and his
yeah.
wife and
yeah.
just high-quality people.
Absolutely.
It's great to see him.
Yeah, we're so very blessed to have them as sponsors of the show. And if you got one of those makes of cars, you'd be very blessed to
yeah,
take
you're
it
gonna
over
be real
them
happy.
Because
I mean,
you will be very happy with the result.
The facility is so professional looking. It's amazing. But usually you always think of these places like that, places falling apart. And
no, this is
not
state of the art. State of the art, and they keep that place spick and span. And you'll also win a $10 gift card to Tijuana Flats, and you can use that on UCF game day if you like.
Friday nights.
Or October the 5th when they have a Cinco de Flats the 5th of every month. So take advantage of that. And then we'll also throw in a Liar Liar Pantsuit on Fire bumper sticker.
Chris, thanks to you, I had a response today on that sticker when I walked in the gym. This lady came up and said, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "Well, it was from our show."
I'll have to give you. We still got about a dozen.
They're great.
So I'll give, you
give me a couple
a
more because I got people plastered them everywhere, you know?
All right, when we come back, Aubrey Kahn looks like is on the line. So stick around and we'll be back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show on FM 105.5 and AM.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit it right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll on a honey. I'm a roll on a honey, and you can't keep up with me.
Hour number two, pardon me, of tonight's show. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We're coming to you live right now on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. I got in the studio with me today the JVP man himself.
Joseph Vincent Paterno.
Paterno.
A man that we're extremely proud of. And as for our media locally, who wrote again another hit story, not one of them probably talked to Joe Moore in 5 minutes in their whole life, where we lived with them four or five years, 25 hours a week. I think we know a lot more than they do.
By the way, when Joe would, after he would have breakfast, the first thing he would do to start his day, do you know what it was? He would celebrate Mass.
Yeah, he was extremely religious.
Every day.
And, you know, he gave $3.5 million for the library at Penn State, you know, the Paterno Library.
Yeah.
And thank God the name still remains. But as we discussed earlier, I just envision his house even today. It's probably worth $350,000. How many head coaches lived in a $350,000 house that were at that level? None. They lived in $3.5 million, $4 million, $5
million. I kind of doubt that coach up there to Florida is living in a $350,000
house. Yeah, I don't think so, you know.
House, right?
Stop by his 8,000-square-foot house.
I'm pretty certain Urban Meyer isn't even.
No, I'm sure about that one.
All right. Steve Moore's flight was delayed, so he's going to join us here in a few minutes, around 6:15.
Is he flying in here?
No.
Oh, okay. I was thinking he'll be appearing here.
Anyway, wherever he is, we were going to be hooking up with him here in a few minutes. Of course, he's the senior economic advisor for FreedomWorks, and he's also a Trump economic advisor. So he's going to be joining us here shortly. In the meantime, Aubrey Kahn has been on the line holding for a while, so I better get right over to him.
This isn't the con man that Hillary's con man,
right? No,
this is Aubrey Kahn. Okay.
This is our man, our African-American.
Ah, that's right.
That's
That's right. Those that can do. Those that can't
teach. Hey, are you over at True Life Choice?
I've left there already. I got a report from a client saying the repair guy was out of school. He pulled some plastic out. Now it pulls down 4 inches.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Right. So guess where I'm heading?
Yeah. So to the pool.
The pool. Yeah.
Got a crack in it somewhere. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out what happens.
Yeah.
But I was listening and I heard the chairman asking 2 questions of Hillary.
Right. Well, you got one?
Well, no, but I have her answer.
Go ahead.
You're all right.
I don't recall.
Yeah, that is good. That would, she might implement a lot, you know what I mean, with Trump. That is good. I think that's funny as can be.
The old catch-all answer for her, indeed.
Well, Aubrey, you know, we're trying to get our people pumped up, boy. I mean, you know, Trump needs to get these questions out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me tell you, the people are pumped up. I've been out there talking to people at True Life Choice, and they're regular listeners to the American Adversaries, and boy, they are pumped.
Good deal. That's what we want to hear.
You know, Audrey, I was walking across the campus at Penn State, and I was telling Chris about this. You know how they say campuses are liberal and all that? And really, even within probably a quarter mile where I was staying, there was probably just 2 Hillary signs. And by the time I left 4 days later, somehow they disappeared. So there's probably none up in that area.
They didn't wind up in the trunk of your rental car, did they? All right. Thank you, Aubrey Kahn. We appreciate it. And, of course, Aubrey's with he's the owner of Affirm Foundation Home Inspections, and he is very thorough in everything he does.
You know what I mean? And, you know, people should get their houses, their roofing and everything. I mean, roofing can be a real problem, insurance-wise.
Better know where
you stand.
That's right. Okay. As I said, Steve Moore is going to be joining us in just a few minutes. This terrorist that they caught yesterday in New Jersey, Rahami, turns out that I guess he went to that same marriage bureau that guy out in San Bernardino
went
to.
Yeah, he picked up a Pakistani.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he went and got himself a Pakistani bride, came over here and became a terrorist, making bombs and stuff.
Do you know how big the guy is physically?
I know he's overweight, but he's only about 5'6 or 5'7.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be too hard to recognize, right? He's 5'6, 200 pounds with a beard.
Yeah.
Are you Hulk Hogan? No, I think you're Rahami.
You know, I think he's been disowned by, you know.
Well, his father's.
Well, I don't mean by his father, but I mean, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. But I mean by other Islamic terrorists, because he put his bombs in dumpsters.
Or
next to them. I mean, that kind of limits the effectiveness of it, right? I mean, it's kind of, I mean, if you're a real diehard ISIS guy, I mean, that doesn't impress you very much. And a couple of homeless guys found one of the bombs.
Can you imagine that? They said they found and they ran under a bridge or something to look at it, and they saw all the wiring, and then they all ran away and got a hold of it.
Because it was a pressure cooker bomb.
I know. But
can
you imagine?
They probably thought that it was either the food was in it or that they'd found themselves a nice new pressure cooker.
Surprise, surprise.
And, woo, look out.
Yeah.
And fortunately for them, it didn't go off, which is another reason why this guy isn't a very good, which is okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying he is probably not going to get any awards from ISIS.
Probably
that's
a
for sure.
B-minus student in their training program.
And then basically a bartender opening up his pub or whatever found him sleeping under some stairs. So they shut him out of the safe house or whatever.
Right.
And he got into a shootout with the cops. But this guy had been back and forth to Afghanistan numerous times, then goes to Pakistan, brings back this Pakistani wife. Right?
Nothing suspicious about any of this, right, Chris?
No real vetting.
This is good.
Yeah.
This is good, yeah.
Nah, yeah.
And
turns out his dad, his old man, had actually called the FBI on him and said he was worried that he was becoming radicalized. But then when the FBI came out to interview him, he basically took it all back. Mm-hmm. So especially with this administration, there wasn't much the FBI could do but turn and walk away.
But why would you, if you know where he's been, the guy says, oh, well, that's not me, and then you just believe him? I mean, you know, imagine the boat we'd be in if we believed everything Barack Obama said. Well, and I say that seriously.
Yeah,
you just believe him?
Well, the problem.
Okay, then you're good.
The problem that the FBI has right now is that the
credibility
manual has been rewritten by this Justice Department things that they can and cannot do in terms of pursuing an investigation. And their hands have literally been tied. And I think this is just an example of that. The father, I mean, NBC was able to actually catch up to him, I guess, in his pickup truck or something with his younger son yesterday. And he didn't inspire a lot of confidence that he was being truthful and open about what he did or didn't mm-hmm. know. Obviously, you're not going to tell the media, but it seems to me that he probably knew exactly what was going on.
So the father, was he an immigrant too?
They all lived above. Yeah, his father came. Came here from Afghanistan,
and he has a younger son.
Yeah,
he can meet the clock boy.
I guess so. but they all lived in this, you know, this flat above the First American Chicken joint.
Right.
And so it seemed to me it'd be kind of difficult for someone to build these explosive devices in that
atmosphere.
I mean, it's not like it's a palatial estate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what, a 3 or 4 room?
Yeah. Okay. No
bedroom,
one come in the bathroom.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Would you come out of the bathroom? What are you doing in there?
Why does it smell like gunpowder?
Yeah, oh, my Lord. It's
What are you eating?
But nonetheless, we're told by the administration that the real problem here is that the Islamic State is winning the narrative battle.
That's according to Hillary.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to be getting the narrative from Mr. Trump very soon.
All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll give another try to get a hold of Steve Moore.
See if his plane landed.
He is traveling, so we're at the... A
lot of bad weather.
At the mercy of the airlines.
Yep.
But we'll keep trying, and hopefully you'll stay with us. In the meantime, we'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to the show, folks. We do now have our guest on the line. He is FreedomWorks Senior Economics Contributor, Steve Moore. Thanks for being on the show again, Steve. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Happy to be with you.
Thanks.
By the way, you're in, where are you? You're in Orlando?
Orlando, yeah. Hillary's going to
be
here
tomorrow. I'm coming to Orlando tomorrow, yep. So,
is that right? Would you like to come and sit in the studio with us a while?
You know, if I can, I'm going to be in Orlando, then I'm going to the Villages, which is, about an hour to the north?
Steve, I can tell you where that is. About an hour to the north, and you're going to walk into the greatest Republican group you ever heard of. I mean, there's like...
Well, good. I don't want any slings and arrows thrown at me.
Wore a T-shirt up there, because we go up there a reasonable amount, and it said, you know, Hillary for prison 2016.
Yeah.
I must have had 15 people buy me drinks.
Well, I'm coming because, you know, obviously Donald Trump has been there many times. He was just there yesterday, but we're going to win Florida, and we have to win Florida. So we're going to win in the Villages. We're going to win Orlando. We just have to win Florida, because there's no path to victory without the great state of Florida. And, if you look at just the economic plans of Hillary versus Donald Trump, this is not a tough contest, folks. I mean, we're going to cut taxes in the Trump when Trump is president. We're going to get our energy going. We're going to control the border. We're going to have an amazing policy of repealing Obamacare and giving people way more health care choices. So it's going to be fantastic. People are going to be very, very excited.
You know, we're excited that you're coming to town. And by the way, we're going to have Dolly Kyle, one of Bill Clinton's old squeezes, in the studio with us too tomorrow night. So that's going to be interesting.
We won't be discussing economics though with her.
Probably not. Listen, I saw Donald Trump's speech last week at the Economic Club of New York.
Yep.
He talked about the things that you were talking about.
I was going to ask you.
It's
a great speech. If people haven't seen it, go online and see it. You know, we talked about all those ideas that I just mentioned. That, you know, it's like rocket fuel for the economy. If we actually get somebody who's pro-business, and, you know, you need healthy businesses to create jobs, and we're going to do that.
Certainly, the income tax break for corporations would be a huge benefit for the economy. But I was interested to see
By the way, not just corporations, but all small businesses will get that 15% tax rate. So, you know, if you're a small businessman or woman and you hire employees, if you've got employees and you reinvest that money in your business, you're going to be only taxed at 15%, down from as high as right now 40%. So this is a huge boon to businesses. And look, you got to have businesses expanding if you want more jobs. This is something Hillary and Barack Obama just don't understand. You know, you can't use our businesses as a piggy bank to pay for all these government programs. If they don't make money, they're out of business. They don't hire people.
Steve, he said that 4% growth rate should be what we should have, but he said he thinks we can have a higher growth rate than that.
I know. He did. You know, and it's so funny. It's the first time I've ever been accused of being too conservative.
Yeah.
But you're right. You know, so I said we could get, and I've said this on Fox, and he said it, and we gave him the numbers, and we said that over 5 years, we think we can have 4% economic growth. And by the way, for, you know, people don't know how good or bad that is, consider that for the last year, we've only grown at 1%. So we think we can grow four times faster than we are right now. It's the difference between going down the street at 10 miles per hour and 40 miles per hour. And so we're going to be really revving up this economy. But the funny thing is, you know, Donald Trump said, well, I think we can grow 5%. You know? So I said, well, okay, you know, so, you know, that's you know, instead of going at 40, we're going to go 50 miles per hour. And he might be right. I mean, if you just get some optimism on businesses that things are going to be better, and that you've got somebody in the presidency who's not going to try to decapitate a business if they dare make a profit. Because, again, liberals don't understand the only reason businesses are in business is to make a profit. That's the American way, to make a profit. So you know, if you make a loss, you don't stay in business, right?
Steve.
So there's nothing wrong with profit. There is a lot wrong with making a loss. And the other thing is, we're going to get a lot of new businesses that come into the United States, and Florida is going to be a huge, huge beneficiary of this. I mean, you're already the capital of Central America, right, in terms of finances. You're going to see so many businesses move into the great state of Florida because, of course, you don't have any income tax, unlike, you know, 41 other states. So you have a huge competitive advantage.
Steve, one thing, though, obviously with all these cuts, don't you think you'll see an acceleration of national debt for the first few years, and then obviously it'll come?
You think you can keep it in line? You can't lower the debt if you don't have economic growth.
Oh, I understand that part. I'm just saying initially, you know, you're going to be given this.
No. Because we're going to cut spending. That's the thing.
We're going to cut spending.
Yeah, well, we're going to try. I mean, it's hard with Congress because Congress doesn't want to cut spending. But we got it. We got to cut the spending.
I agree.
Right now, you know this. We got a $4 trillion budget. We should cut it by 10%. Right? Let's just, you know. Now this is just me talking. His plan is to cut 1% per year for 5 years. But I want to go by. I think we should cut every agency by 10%. That's what businesses did during the recession. Right? They cut their budgets. Why can't the government cut its budget?
And also, another thing that Donald mentioned in his speech last week was cutting regulations. How regulations are strangling the economy.
You got it. There's no doubt about that. And you know, in fact, I'm part of something called the Trump Economic Council. And these are a lot of the leaders of our major businesses, whether they're manufacturers or banks or engineering firms or energy firms. And when we asked them, you know, what's your biggest problem? It was interesting. You know, taxes is a problem, but a lot of them said that regulations are an even bigger problem. You know, I mean, a good example is I live in the great state of Virginia. In Virginia, we're a coal-producing state. It's Obama influenced regulations that have totally destroyed our coal industry in Virginia and laid off tens of thousands of workers. And then Democrats love to talk about how they care about working class people. It's a joke. So, you know, we could actually put those people back into jobs if we repeal some of those regulations. That, and by the way, Obama has put those regulations in place without any approval of Congress. He's just done it through the executive branch, through executive orders.
Yeah, executive.
Steve, I saw an article, too, and I don't know if you can verify this, but it said in the state of Michigan, and I even called the number to try to verify this, they said that if you're a Muslim, you can actually have, you're allowed more than four wives. You're allowed to have four wives on the welfare, you know, one guy. Now, if that is true, what is wrong with all you people to allow this junk to go on? So one man, one Muslim man, four wives on welfare. How do you like that?
I haven't heard about that, so I can't comment.
I'll give you the phone number when we're done.
By the way,
well, you know, I have one wife and I can't handle it. How could anybody?
I know. I was going to say that would not be enough money. You know.
I hope my wife isn't listening to this show.
I hear you.
Who I love and adore, honey. If you're listening, I love you and adore.
Look at him. All right. Hey, you know, Steve, my wife can make a small fortune for you if she starts with a large one.
Hey, watch out! Now you got to go home and eat tonight. Hey, Steve, but the larger point is, and this is another part of the brilliance of Donald Trump's immigration stance, is that immigration is costing us a huge amount of our treasury.
Well, you know, illegal immigration is expensive. Legal immigrants are good for the country.
And well,
you
that's
know
what I meant, illegals and these refugees.
Illegal,
yes.
Right. That's
yeah, yeah, legal immigrants are great for our country. But illegal immigration is expensive. And, you know, there are many, you know, go on welfare and so on. And some pay taxes and so on. But you have to come into this country legally. I mean, it's that simple. We got to be a nation of laws. And you know, the idea, I think this is one of the reasons Donald Trump is so popular. And I think it's why he's going to win states like Florida. Is, you know, we do believe that if a person wants to come into this country and build a better life for themselves, I mean, that's why my grandparents came and yours came, but you can't come in and flaunt our laws. And you can't commit crimes, and you know you have to assimilate too. You have to learn the language and learn our culture and learn our history, and that's what's made America great.
Steve, do you think that Congress would be willing to work with Donald Trump with his plan?
On what?
On his plan, his economic plan?
Oh, yeah. You know, let me give you an example on the tax stuff, you know, that we're talking about, on the energy policy. These are almost identical to what the House plan Paul Ryan has proposed. So I believe, and you can take this to the bank, I think when Trump is elected, and I think he is going to win, we're going to, within the first 100 days, pass that tax plan because it's 80% similar to what Paul Ryan has in the House. And we can pass the energy plan. We can do this stuff, you know, really quickly. And, you know, Paul Ryan is a dear friend of mine. I think he's a real policy innovator. I think you're going to see a lot of, you know, not entirely, but you're going to see a lot of like-minded thinking on how to get this economy moving again.
You know, Steve, another question as we head into November, right? This is one that really goes down to the basics, which we've mentioned before. This Obamacare, I mean, I hope Trump mentions this when he's in the mid-October for everybody to check their billing. Because that's going to just set people on fire when they see that, you know, their $600 is now $850 a month and their $800 is now $1050. That takes all the stuff you talk about it, but it turns it real where the guy goes, oh, my God, I dislike these people. I hope you guys spend some time on that because that's real.
Steve?
The rest of it is sort of BS until it happens.
Steve?
Well, you're so right. I mean, Obamacare is just killing us right now. There's just absolutely no question about it. I mean, it is a huge, huge expense to the American family. You know, where I live, I don't know in Florida how much your expenses are going up, but in
19%. 19%.
We're at 24%.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't afford it. And I'm upper middle class. It's killing our finances. My wife is just tearing her hair out when she sees how much we're going to have to pay for health insurance. And look, do you guys remember Barack Obama, that we were going to save $2,500 per family?
Oh, yeah. We remember that.
Keep your plan.
I don't know why that was.
Right.
No, that was a complete I'm not saving $2,500. I'm spending $2,500 more worse health care.
At the minimum. Yeah, it's a four-person family.
That's the standard operating procedure. Got time for one more question for you. And once again, thanks for taking time. I know you're in the middle of traveling and everything.
Yeah.
But if you were to, I know you're advising Donald Trump, what would you say, how would you advise him to go after Hillary in the debates?
You know, I think he should treat her very sweetly and kindly. I think, you know, I think that will disarm her if he, I don't want him to insult her or anything like that. Just, and then, you know, if he ever gets a question asked, you know, he may not know the answer to, because they're going to try to trip him up, you know.
The media.
He should just say, you know, I don't know the answer to that one. You better ask Hillary. She's the professional politician on the stage. And just make that, you know, make her career in politics turn it into a liability, not an asset. I mean, what I love about Donald Trump, there's many things, but I love about him most, he's not a career politician. He's a businessman. He doesn't know the answers to all this stuff. I mean, because he's going to come with a fresh perspective. He's going to change things. He's going to rattle the cages in Washington. He's going to shake things up. And, you know, if you...
Sure. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you for being with us. All right, as I said earlier, the Rays pregame show is going on right now, and that's going to happen the rest of this week, but then that's going to be it for this season.
That's it?
That's it.
So what do you think, Chris? The Rays end up, what, 18-19 out, right?
Yeah, it looks like
it. Bet you out of, what, of nine starters, I'll bet you they come back, maybe keep five.
Well,
you know, I hope they do something.
I know one of their aces is going to help put the Boston Red Sox in the playoff. You know who I'm talking about, don't you there, Nick?
Well, David Price.
Price was always an exceptional player. I don't know. I guess they just didn't have the money to pay him. I mean, he was great.
I don't know.
He was going to command too much money. I mean, coming off of Cy Young and everything, he was shopping it around.
That's what I'm saying, is that the Rays could not. That's why I think Madden left and went to Chicago.
Good pitching always beats good
hitting,
Al
Vidal, though. You know,
I think that's one reason why Madden left, too, because they trade away.
Got more money.
Or let his good players go, yeah.
Look what Chicago's doing. Maybe the greatest year they've had, what, in 100 years or whatever. You know, you always hear the Chicago cry story, but they're doing terrific this year. And they got all the positions filled.
Maybe they can do the old Steve Bartman a favor and get rid of the old curse or whatever.
Yeah.
I watched the game this weekend with on Fox, Boston and the Yankees. And I'm going to hate to see Ortiz leave the game.
Yeah.
David Ortiz. He has, I mean, he's what, about 16th or 17th on the all-time home run list. But I bet you if you ranked his home runs in terms of how big they were,
relative to who's on base?
It's relative as to the outcome of the game.
Yeah, that's
an important
game. Right, then he might
be. Hank Aaron hit a lot of home runs, but he hit them for the Atlanta Braves and the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, they didn't have a lot of, you know, significance, other than they went over the fence.
Right.
But Ortiz. I mean, how many times has he saved their skin?
So many. You know, against the Yankees in 04, then in that series in 2013 as well, he hit one that was very memorable. I mean, every playoff series, he is clutch. He is, you know, forget Reggie Jackson or Derek Jeter.
Yeah, you're right.
Plus, he kills the Yankees. That's the point, you know?
But, yeah, the rival. Yeah, and he's played for the Sox all his career, hasn't he?
No, he started in Minnesota for a couple seasons and then came to the Red Sox. Okay. But
Nick knows his baseball.
Well, he's of course, I'm a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know everything about the Red Sox.
Have you ever been to a game, though, Nick, up there?
Plenty of times at Fenway Park. And,
you know where the outfield is that you can go, like, get their seats, like they're sort of like in a bar. You know what I mean? Where you look out from the bar?
Yeah,
for
the
monster.
Yeah, I
watched a game from that.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't seen the game up there. I just walked up there on a tour once. But I'm very excited. I'm going to Tampa this weekend. I'm going to catch two of the three Red Sox Rays games. Yeah. And that's David Ortiz's last trip down to Tampa. So,
that's right.
You know,
that's this weekend?
Last chance. Yeah, it'll be the last chance I ever get to see him play in person.
Did you get your tickets already?
Yep.
They're playing Boston tonight.
Friday. Rays are playing.
Yeah, the Rays are, you tell them.
Rays are playing the Yankees right now, but they'll be playing the Red Sox this weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
Oh, that'd be a terrific series. Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. But I sat in right along that in the outfield where they have that bar you can like look through and see the game.
Yeah, that's
cool.
That
was great, but the game got blurrier as they kept drinking.
Sure did.
Boy, I hope they never you know, replace that stadium.
Oh, it is. It's an antique. I can tell you that.
I know, but I mean, it's such a unique stadium. Yeah. And it's got so much history there.
But the, you know, the Chicago Stadium, you know, I was in that one last year. Mm-hmm. And boy, that's a classic. And I know they were replacing the outfield seats or something they were doing. But yeah. I think what makes it unique is all the bars that surround the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just insane before the games.
You know? By the way, well, I hope you have a great time this weekend.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. By the way, the guy that owns the Chicago Cubs, his name's J. Joe Ricketts.
And right.
I don't know what the first J stands
right.
for, but J. Joe Ricketts,
okay.
Who started, and I believe he's still the major shareholder in Ameritrade.
Okay.
All right, he owns the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big Cruz guy during the primary, and he had become a never-Trumper.
Right.
He is now a Trumper.
And, when did he announce the conversion?
I guess yesterday. It was
good.
Was on CNBC this morning that he and Sheldon Adelson,
big money guy,
are both going to pony up some big money for Donald Trump. So,
good. So you think it'll, I think we'll just go into advertising, don't you? Those primary states.
I think so, but I think also it's a sign that a lot of people are realizing that this guy can actually win this thing.
Right.
You know?
And we could look like a fool if we never backed a guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think you're going to probably see a little bit more of that, especially if he has a good night Monday night. I think you're going to see a lot of never-Trumpers suddenly become
Trumpers. Oh, they're
going to become
converts real quickly.
I'm not talking about everybody. I mean, there's going to be some that are going to hold out, like some guys on another different radio show.
It's called jealousy.
Whatever. I mean, they'll be the diehards. But
right.
I think when it comes to, like, the big money guys,
right.
that they're going to come off some of that their big money.
How about the older Bush? Do you think he's ever coming across?
You know, the Bushes, it's interesting because clearly they like the Clintons better than they
right.
like Trump.
Without
I mean, you know, Bubba's is their adopted son.
Right, because you've seen him
right.
in so many events together.
Right. Now, I don't think they have as a like affinity for Hillary. I think they respect her. Why, I don't know.
Yeah, I was
but
say, I wonder about that.
That they respect her, and in mm-hmm. that sense, you know, they have, you know, some, if you will, admiration or whatever, however you want to characterize
right.
it for her. But they actually like Bill. And, of course, then there's that doggone MENA airport thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, H.W. was president when all that was going on down
right.
there to Arkansas.
Oh.
And according to Roger Stone, who has...
That's a terrible, terrible story.
It
really is. It's just,
yeah, you know,
if you think of that, you could never... associated with the Clintons.
And so anyway, I probably shouldn't go down that route, but the bottom line is the Bushes have a vested interest in the Clintons. Let's put it that way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if they vote for her. What would be surprising to me is that they come out and make a big deal about it. That I think would be,
I think it would be suicide to their younger Bush's opportunities or any future Bush's.
I think it would be bad news. It wouldn't be good for their legacy. Let's put it that
for
way.
Sure.
And I can see the Bush's either sitting out or I can see them voting for Hillary,
mm-hmm.
With the exception of George P.
That's
Bush.
That's right. He said he is a Trump guy.
That's right.
Which
exactly.
is great to see that.
That's Jeb's son.
Yeah.
And so. Anyway, well, by the way, what Mike's talking about is there's a story out there that a Democrat former governor, I can't remember the state, a northeastern state,
right.
it might be up there where in Maine, but anyway,
yeah, I'm sure.
Somewhere up in there, has told some of her friends and I guess in the media that George H.W. Bush, 41, the old man,
right.
told her, so this is secondhand or third
mm-hmm.
hand, told her that he was going to vote for Hillary.
Yeah.
He has not made a public statement to that effect. Now, to my knowledge, I don't know that they've denied it. Perhaps that's happened during the course of the day, and I haven't seen it. I'll be looking for it tonight.
Yeah.
But once again, I don't necessarily, and I don't think that'd hurt Trump.
No, I mean, the die's been cast. I mean, Trump enthusiasts are everywhere now, and from my understanding, though, there's still supposedly 13% of the people haven't made up their mind.
That
if that is
right.
true, you know, he can siphon so much of this off, because why are you going to go to Hillary? What's going to, she going to create in the next few weeks that's going to turn you to Hillary?
Well, you know, and we got this from talking with Steve Moore. Trump is talking about making some big
These are going to be revolutionary changes that will, and I agree 100%. I think the markets will explode. Everything will explode if he's elected.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a big day for some of even the decisions I'm going to make in different things.
Right. And the American public, overwhelmingly, the polls show by margins of 60% or more, want change. They don't want more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
And this is bad news for Hillary. And then you're going to have Barack Obama. He's promising to campaign for at least 2 days a week from now through the election.
I think that's a plus for Trump. Only in the black community do I believe it might be a little bit.
And I think it's going to have
negative.
It'll have some
a little bit, because I think a lot of them do not trust him like they did 8 years ago, and rightfully so.
And what he is going out there saying is, elect Hillary so you get more of me. In other words, more of the same. Right, he's preaching a message of let's keep things the way they are.
Keep me in office.
Basically keep things the way they are, as opposed to what the nation wants, which is change.
Right.
Don't want things the way they are.
Well, then
so
keep speaking that, you know, speak that talk.
Yeah, I don't think that his message. I mean, he's a great campaigner. I'll give him that. But I don't think this message is the one that is going to sell this time. I mean, it's kind of the same message that he got elected for on the first time.
Right.
People want hope and change. Mm-hmm. All right, we're out of hope, and we got very little change in our money.
Yeah.
Exactly,
we've been shortchanged, is what you call it. Hope and shortchanged.
We've done broke open the piggy bank. I mean, so. It's ironic, though, in a way. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, you know, sort
it's
of
beautiful.
What,
I like that.
What goes around comes around, and that what he got elected on 8 years ago is what Donald Trump is getting elected on this time.
Yep.
He's not saying it the same way.
No, different style.
But he's giving,
but putting the thought
it's the
of
same
a future.
Message.
A big future lies ahead for you with my message.
Right.
You know?
I know things are bad. I'm bringing you hope. And I'm going to change things.
Did you see Obama's speech in the UN today?
Oh,
it was like his farewell speech. It was like a fairy tale. And I mean, again, he's a staunch globalist. You can tell that.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, a question was coming into my mind as we were running out of time with Steve Moore about that, because he, in essence, bragged today that he, the United States, that is, under his.
It's an unstoppable march of progress.
Yeah.
According to who?
Yeah. He also bragged that he, along with other nations, had managed to temper and tamp down the extravagances of capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Here is a guy that, a money pig, him and his wife, look at the money they spent on their trips. And he has the audacity to make a statement
like
that.
Well, in essence, though, he was right. I mean, he, along with some, with the euro, have tamped down economies, have strangulated economies, and made a lot of more people poor.
Yeah, he's done a good job.
Yeah, because you see,
Hillary can continue it.
It is the extravagances of capitalism that have made us such a wealthy and healthy world, not just United States, but world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he was up there and apologetic. He was once again in his apologetic mode. And thank God, this is going to be his last one.
Yeah, that's it. So glad to see him say goodbye.
Yeah, and no, I don't think he'll become Secretary General of the UN. At least not until we get a one-world government. Then he might do it.
Yeah, because look at all the nations that don't like him. How's he going to get voted in?
And as a matter of fact, there is a UN regulation that bars former heads of state from being Secretary General.
So he can't lobby it.
So neither he nor Bill Clinton could be Secretary General of the UN. Nor could George W. Bush or George H.W. Bush.
That's all right.
Nor Jimmy Carter.
We've had enough of all these people. Go away.
Nor
we
Vladimir
appreciate
Putin.
Did you see he got, I guess, reelected is how they define it the other day, and with a higher margin than in the past.
Who's that?
Putin.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's sort of reminiscent the old Soviet Union ballot used to be. You would have, like, say, if it were today, it would be Putin and nothing else.
Yeah.
In other words, that
good
would be
chance
your,
you'll get elected.
You vote, you go in and you check off Putin, or you don't. And if you don't, they're going to notice and want to know why.
Yeah. Sort of like the Democratic ballot in the inner cities, right?
Kind of like that.
Hillary.
Kind of like that, yes. All right. Speaking of Hillary, should Donald Trump get the opportunity or take the opportunity during the debate to ask her a question?
Chris, I think you agree with me. We got to arm our people and arm Donald with questions. So our contest this week is to come up with the questions that Donald should ask Hillary. And these are questions she may have not been asked before or ever thought of by these Democratic moderators. So my question is, Hillary, have you ever cheated on Bill with a man or a woman, i.e. Yuma? But you know what? I'd like to get that response because that would have some bearing on my voting thoughts, and you know, and it would have a lot to do with sexism in the United States and everything else. You know?
IE stands for such as, right?
Yeah, well, like, hello.
Right.
I like that. We could question Yuma too. I like. We ought to try to get her on. No, she wouldn't come on here. Yeah, forget it. Hi, Yuma. You know, we'd love to chat with you a little bit.
Maybe we should go after Carlos Danger.
Yeah. The Wiener Man might consider. I wonder, because, you know, he just wants any type of publicity.
Oh,
so maybe
Lord.
We ought to give the Wiener Man a call.
I don't know. This is after all.
But that would kill our audience to hear from the
Wiener Man. This is, after all, a Christian-owned station.
Yeah, the Wiener Man not accepted.
I don't think so.
And I don't want him sending, like, autographed pictures or anything.
No, sir. No, sir.
Ooh, that would be horrible.
All right, we're going
to Dolly will be able to take care of the Wiener Man.
No. I don't think so. Dolly's going to be in the studio with us tomorrow.
I think that's great.
All right, and let's take one more break, and when we come back, want to talk a little Eagle Power with you. All right, so stick around for more of the American Adversaries.
I was all right for a while. Could smile for a while, but I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight as you stopped to say hello. Oh, you wished me well. You couldn't tell that I've been
crying over you. Cry. You know, we sing this to the guys we play golf. You know, every time they have a bad shot, you know, we go, cry. That's a great song. Is it Roy Orbison?
I believe so.
Yeah. Nick, Roy Orbison? He's giving me thumbs up. Roy Orbison.
Roy
Orbison.
Orbison.
I got it right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Pretty bad.
The NFL season kicked off last week, and then you had this weekend's games, and then you had Monday Night Football last night, the Eagles playing in Chicago.
Right.
And you had four Eagles with the
Black
fists,
Power fist, you know, that type of garbage. But, you know, I think that we as the public, you know, because we are entitled to our response, right? The minute they do the Black Power fist up in the air, we do the middle finger fist because, I mean, the show then the respect
but see,
that we have
that's during
the
national
them.
Anthem, though. See?
Well, maybe the minute the last, you know, word said, then give them our salute.
Right, after the last bar.
Actually, I don't think any of this garbage is going to go on much longer because everybody's sort of getting boring. I think even the media people who covered are, you know, they're starting to fade from it. Like, this is getting a little boring. And plus, I think the debate money is going to, you know, use up all the air for the next week or so. And hopefully it just fades. And if I were the owners, and that's why I think of our guy Snyder from the Redskins, you know, he put that Washington Redskins to bed. He ended it by saying, forget it. I'm keeping the name. I'll bear the consequences. So,
you know, what Mike is talking about is that the administration and others were putting pressure on the Washington Redskins to change their name.
And he made it very clear, I'm not changing it, like it or not.
Yeah.
Live with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, there has been a backlash against this, you know, fists up or kneeling down or whatever the case may be. And so it's. And then there's the political ramifications that I think that this definitely, you know, works in Donald Trump's favor.
Again, you're right. It feeds right into the Trumplicans, without a doubt.
And this is just something that reminds people of why they want a change and are dissatisfied. People just feel like, you know, this country is soured, and we need to do something to change that. By the way, you know, there has been a lot of high schools and stuff that have done away with prayer, you know, before right. and after football games and stuff like that. And lo and behold, you know, because of this controversy, you know, school mm-hmm. principals have the inclination sometimes to sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater, I guess right. would be what I'm looking for here in terms of an analogy, because there was evidently one high school that decided, or wait a minute, let's see here. I'm going to get my notes right. I mean, mm-hmm. my facts right on this. This was in Flint Township, Michigan.
Right.
Let me just read from the story here. While pundits across the country debate the validity of NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick's decision not to stand for the national anthem, a Lapeer football team took a stand of its own, literally. Prior to the Lapeer Lightning's freshman football game on Wednesday, August 31st, the team was informed by the host team announcer that the national anthem would not play before the game. School superintendent Eddie Kendall said the national anthem was played prior to the junior varsity game held later in the night. Like most schools in the state of Michigan, we choose to play the national anthem prior to the highest level of competition. Mm-hmm. But rather than accept that there was no anthem before their kickoff, the Lapeer freshmen took to the sidelines to stand and salute the flag, and then they began to sing. And they
that's
sang
great.
The
now,
national
that's a wonderful
anthem
story that should
themselves.
Be in massive circulation, which it is not.
You know? Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, these younger kids know more than the idiots playing in the NFL.
Yeah, and the Lapeer High School athletic director said, "We're just super proud of our guys to overcome that situation and take it upon themselves to sing the national anthem. We couldn't be prouder." So, you know, as I said, there's a backlash going on out there.
I think there's a, like even in the NFL, I think it's just getting boring. It's not like there's a lot. How many guys do you think actually, you know, either did the fist or, you know, sat underneath? I'd say maybe 10 the whole weekend.
That's yeah, you had a few Miami Dolphins who
yeah,
did.
Yeah, but
you
it's
had
not these, any these wildfire guys, running through. And then some of the teams said, "We are not doing it." That's it.
Yeah.
So, if you guys want to play the game, but you know what? You're going to get hurt. You're going to get real hurt, buddy. You know, with advertising and all type of benefits. So good luck to you, not too smart.
Speaking of that, attendance is down so far this season amongst the NFL stadiums.
And yeah. I can believe, like, you know, they need non-season ticket holders to buy tickets, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to be your people that watch this and go, you know, I don't have any tickets. I'm not going. That really irks me. No, I'm not going. There goes, you know, it could be another 10,000 tickets. This is a lot of money. You keep playing this political game. Keep politics and sports separate.
Yep. All right. And, well, I'll tell you what, we're just about out of time here today. As I said earlier, tomorrow we're going to have Dolly Kyle on the show. She's written a book. It's called Hillary, the Other Woman. She's going to give away a couple of autographed copies tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And we encourage you to call and ask her some questions if you want to do that during the show. And please get out and get a copy of her book and spread it around, the word, that is. And don't forget, Thursday, we're going to be doing our contest.
Contest,
that's right. Yeah, we want to know what question would you have Trump ask Hillary at the debate Monday night. We'll have to ask Dolly her opinion on that one, too.
I know. I think she'll enjoy that. And I think Rachel, who will be by, that we'll get another woman's opinion, because we got to help. We need to get these questions to him. Somebody's going to have the big winner. So
We got 7 weeks to go.
Yep.
7 weeks till November the 8th, actual election day. And, of course, you can. Some states, people are already voting by mail, like in North Carolina.
Yeah, I don't like that this early.
I don't either, but Trump's ahead in North Carolina.
Okay,
so
then that's
okay.
All right. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
As long as they don't cheat. And, of course, that's
He did a great job today there. So,
you know. Yeah, and he is barnstorming this country. I mean, this guy is...
his
campaigning like we haven't seen for a long time. I mean, Bill Clinton campaigned a lot because he liked it so much. Obama doesn't like it so much, but he's good at it, so he gets out there and does it a lot.
There's another reason Bill Clinton campaigned.
Well, maybe, yeah, exactly. Dolly will be telling us about that tomorrow night. But Trump is thoroughly enjoying himself. The crowds thoroughly enjoy it.
Him?
Yep. And this is something that the momentum is going to continue to build, and it is pulling in groups, or at least pulling them away from Hillary, and in the numbers that she's going to need in order to pull this thing out. And if he just pulls in more of the white vote than Mitt Romney did by a couple or 3 points, that puts him over the top.
I think he's going to do that without any doubt in my mind.
This once again is not only winnable, but winnable big.
Yep.
And I think we should start thinking in terms of, if we're going to win this thing, why not try and win this thing big? And I think that's exactly what Trump has in mind. And the state polling all
across
the country.
I'm amazed, like Colorado, Chris, how Colorado's coming forward. I mean, here's a marijuana state. Wow.
Trump's a couple of points ahead there.
Yep.
You know, well, they got to have jobs to buy that weed.
Oh,
right?
No, you can't smoke it unless you got the cash, buddy.
Because it's still illegal with the federal government. You can't use welfare cards, I don't think, to buy it anyway. Mm-hmm. So, they'll probably change that too. But anyway, we'll be right here to hammer the message home and bring this guy in a winner if we at all can. In the meantime, you've been a winner for listening to the show. We're winners for having you listen to the show. And, of course, we'll be here tomorrow night with Dolly Kyle.
Yep, always fun with our listeners. So
absolutely.
It'll be fun tomorrow.
All right. Night, everybody.